Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't this a good day?
Amen.
It's great having everyone here today. If you're our guests with us visiting today, we love that. We love that you're here worshiping God with us. And we want you to know that you are always welcome anytime you want to come and worship with us, serve God with us, be a part of us. And these days are just extra special. I know some of our families, you have additional family members here with you today. That's a special time. This is these are times to remember being at the foot of God, worshiping Him with one another. And so appreciate that. We just got back from LTC yesterday. LTC is a leadership training for Christ, and our young people, 3rd grade through 12th grade, participate in that. That was our location is Rogers, Arkansas, and so we went over there yesterday. I want you to know that 18 of our young people participated. 48 total went over to Rogers over the past 24 hours. So it's kind of a fast and furious. It's only 24 hours, give or take, but boy, it is fast and furious. And you need to know that our young people did tremendous. Amen. And we have so much to be proud of. I'm proud of our kids. And I'm proud, very proud of our coaches who work hours and hours with our young people. In a couple weeks on a Sunday night, we will honor them and we will do a lot more about that. We'll do that across the street 2 weeks for LTC. But the theme of the LTC this year was King of My Heart. It's from 1 Samuel. And I think it's special. If you know nothing else, know this. Our young people know what it means for God to be the king of their heart. Amen. That's a big deal, isn't it? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. We will read there in a minute. Matthew chapter 27. We live in a world with depressing news. If you like to watch the news, I would imagine you have a love-hate relationship with it. Because it can be depressing. The things we see, the headlines, the darkness in our world. We hear and read about horrific things. We hear about murders and bombings and suicides. The fact is, we live in a dark world, and you know, people say the sky's falling, and now I've come to learn that the sky is falling, that we've got China's space station to worry about. It's coming down sometime this weekend, right? I mean, we're in the potential path, so we got to be looking out. It's a dark world. If you have ever felt discouragement, or disappointment, or despair, you know how Jesus' followers felt the day that He died. I want us to remember and think this morning, in particular, regarding that weekend of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, think about His followers. They felt darkness. And the truth is, even the natural world felt darkness during Jesus' death. Remember this, Matthew 27:45. From the 6th hour, there was darkness over all the land until the 9th hour. And about the 9th hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Evidently, God the Father, because of the suffering of Jesus, maybe looked away at a time, and Jesus cried out, feeling that removal of the Father in that moment, and also the Son looked away. It got dark for 3 hours. And understand that this darkness, this was not a solar eclipse, this was a sin eclipse. Jesus was dying for the sins of mankind. And that was quite a moment. The greatest weekend, the highlight of God's love, the moment in human history is when Jesus dies for the sins of humanity. And even nature, the natural world itself, no doubt through God's provision and offering, but even the sun became dark for 3 hours. It was the pinnacle of God's love for sinful mankind, but it was also the start of a dark weekend for Jesus' followers. They had followed Him 3 years. Jesus had been their leader. He had been their teacher. He had been their healer and their Messiah. And they had hoped that with Jesus, great things would come. But that hope now, at Jesus' death, that hope was lost. on Sunday morning, two of those disciples, we read about an interesting passage with two of Jesus' disciples. The morning he rose, they didn't know yet what was happening. But we do read about what they did know, and they're talking to Jesus. They don't recognize him, so from their perspective, they're just talking to a stranger. But here's what they say. Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? They said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Can you sense the darkness? Can you sense the sorrow? Paul writes about this kind of sorrow in Philippians 2:27. And when Paul's writing to the Philippians, he's writing about one of their members, Epaphroditus, that the Philippian church had sent to encourage Paul. But while he was with Paul, he became sick and he almost died. And Paul writes about that to them. He says, indeed, he was ill, near death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. This is the phrasing, sorrow upon sorrow, is from the Greek, and it is said to be a nautical term, referring to the raging ocean waves and how the waves of the ocean come one after another. And this is it paints a picture. This is when, and you can probably relate to this if you've ever had struggles where you get knocked down and then you get up, but then here comes another wave. And sometimes in life we can prepare for those waves. Sometimes you feel braced for those waves. Oftentimes we don't. They come at a time that surprises us. And maybe it's a job that you lost. Maybe you feel broke. Maybe you can't make ends meet. Maybe you feel alone and depressed. Or it might be illness. Oh no, I have cancer. Your dreams are gone. You feel like your hope is gone. You don't see any. If you're here and you've had things like that happen, you can relate to Jesus' followers the weekend that he died. We talk a lot about Friday when Jesus died for our sins, and that's important. Jesus dying on the cross. We talk a lot about Sunday, the day Jesus rose, and we're getting to that. Stay with me. We talk about the day Jesus rose. That's very important to us. But I want us to just pause for a little bit. What about Saturday? When all the hope was gone. What did Jesus' disciples do that day? Remember, that was a Sabbath. And so on that day that they're grieving and mourning and confused and their hope is gone, they can't even get up and go work. They can't even go distract themselves by busyness because it's the Sabbath. I would imagine that was a long day for them. Can you relate to long days of worry, struggle, doubt, and despair? And you wonder, will this ever get better? How do we get through Saturday and make it to Sunday? Before we moved here, we lived in Wilberton. And in Wilberton, I was the college minister. At that campus, we had a building similar to our youth building, our teen building, called the Student Center. So it was a building of its own. And in working there, there would be times that my oldest, Elizabeth, would be there with me, and she would be just a toddler. And there were times that she would take naps there. And in that building, there was a room inside of it that had no windows. And then there was a room off of that room that also had no windows. And that was the napping room. And so I'd get her set up in there. And it was dark. Because it was kind of dark in the building. And it was really dark in the one room. And in the other room, I mean dark, dark. So when the door's shut and she's sleeping, she would sleep. Some naps, she would take 4-hour naps as a child. And has never grown out of that. But she would, when she would wake up from her nap, it's darkness. But she would crawl to that first door and open it. And when she opens the first door, she could see a glimmer of light to the next door. She'd come open that door, and she would come out, and she would come to her daddy. And her, she had this the most curly blonde hair. And she would come out of there, her hair, like a glorious mess. But she had found her daddy. The power of a little light. Imagine what it was like in the tomb Saturday. In the tomb, Jesus' body is dead. The tomb is sealed. It is dark. It is dark inside the tomb. The body is dead. But Sunday morning when Jesus rose, still in the tomb, I would imagine it's still dark. I don't know how God did that. I don't know how Jesus did that. I'm pretty sure he didn't reach up and pull the string that turned on the light bulb in the tomb, right? Where you need no light. No one needs to see anything in the tomb. And I would imagine it was dark. But by divine power, that stone moved. And that first light, how precious that first glimmer of light is in our life, right? A little hope. What value is there in a little hope? I remember a time when Stephanie and I were trying to get pregnant. And if you've ever wanted a baby and tried to have a baby and struggled with that, you know what I'm talking about. So it took month after month after month after month. And then finally, she was pregnant. And at 11 weeks, we go to the doctor. We go to hear the heartbeat for the first time. So we're excited like young parents are. And we go and they hook up, you know, they're using their apparatus and their equipment. Can't find anything. They do that for a little bit. And then the next thing I know, a doctor is explaining to us that there is no baby, that she's had a miscarriage at some point and we did not know it. Darkness. A few weeks pass wanting to have a baby. And when you're in that situation, a few weeks pass and you find out your wife is late and you're on the way to the store to get a test, to come and test, all you have is a glimmer, but that glimmer is a lot. When you have a glimmer of hope, it's a lot. Let's read on in this story. These two strangers that were talking to Jesus, thinking he was a stranger, look at what they say here. Some women of our company amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning. When they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Can you feel the hope? Can you feel it building? They don't know yet. They don't know that he's risen from the dead yet. They haven't seen him yet. But they see a glimmer of hope. They're becoming more and more hopeful. When we read about those two men are Peter and John that ran to the tomb. Peter rose, ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Hope. Sometimes a little hope is all that keeps us going. You want to know how to get through Saturday to get to Sunday in your dark times in life? Sometimes it's just a little hope. It may not be much, but a small amount of hope in a gracious God is a lot. I have something I want to show to you. I say show. May not be the correct word. I'm actually getting a large one. But I had to have testimony. You won't believe me if I don't. Do you see that seed? You see that in my hand? All right. Raise your hand and testify to everybody. Raise your hand up, Cameron. Raise your hand right now and say, I saw a seed. He saw a seed, all right? You can believe Cameron if you think a preacher might stretch things. I'm going to try to hold this and not drop it. This is a mustard seed. I can't hold it. There's a mustard seed. I'm not squashing it. There's a mustard seed between my fingers. Hey, okay, Steve believes me. I'll show you. A mustard seed. Do you know how big a mustard seed is?
Oh my God.
What did Jesus say about a mustard seed? If we have faith as small as a mustard seed, Jesus said, you can say to a mountain, you go over there, and it will. What does God teach us about if we have a little faith, a little hope in God Almighty, how big is it? You want to know how to get from Saturday to Sunday? You may just need a little faith. You may just need a little hope. Just a glimmer of hope in the Almighty because of how good He is. When Jesus rose from the dead, the reason that was so amazing to us, the reason Jesus' resurrection is important to us, is it shows us Jesus' power over the things that hurt us. Our greatest fear as a human being, forget religion, forget Christianity, just as a human being, go find one and ask them, and if they were honest, death is our greatest fear. And in the resurrection, Jesus conquered that. Jesus calmed the storm on the sea. Jesus cured disease. He cast out demons. Jesus cared about those that society did not. Do you want to come out of darkness? Your answer is Jesus. We don't find our way out of darkness through substance abuse. We don't find our way out of darkness through the casino. You won't find your way out of darkness through romance. You won't find it with money. The way out of darkness is through Jesus Christ. He is our way. Revelation 21:4. I want us to see this because this passage in Revelation, it shows us about our God. This is the God we serve. This is the God we follow. It says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. That's about heaven. I love that scripture. It's about heaven because it shows me what we long for. This is what we hope for. This is our ultimate destination. This is why we want to live our life faithful to God here. God, I want to walk with you here so I can be there. But in the meantime, while we're here, this is the God we serve. Why do we have faith in God Almighty? Why don't we have faith in the things that we can control? The reason is God is so much better. God can control things I can't control. God loves me better than I love me. God is our answer. That's the God we serve. That's the one we have hope in. That's why if I have a little hope, if I have a little faith, just the size of a mustard seed, if I have that, if it's in God, it's something. Right? If it's in man, it's nothing. I want to leave you with one final scripture. This is it's from Zechariah, writes this. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. When they had John the Baptist, they knew, his parents, Zechariah's father, knew because God had told him that he would be a prophet. John the Baptist would be a great man. And of course, John the Baptist's role was to lead people to Christ. He was a forerunner of Christ. He was to teach people and prepare them for Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But at the birth of John, his father, Zechariah, prophesies. And he's speaking about Jesus in Luke 1:78. Here's what he says. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. You may be here this morning, and you may, when we talk about dark times, you understand dark times. You need to know that God wants you to put your hope in Jesus. All we need to know in life is that the tender mercy of our God sent Jesus Christ to give light to those who sit in darkness. We do live in a dark world, but as Christians, we have light. We have a God and a Savior who's King of our heart, and we have hope. And we may just have a little hope, but that little hope will get us from Saturday to Sunday morning to the resurrection. This is a special time. We're going to sing a song, He Lives. And I hope that God is living in your life, that He's living in your heart. But when we, at the end of our sermons here, we want to pause and just give an invitation. And because there may be someone, you may be here today, and you desperately need prayers. And if you do, we will stop and we will go to the Father with you and pray with you. You may be here this morning and God is not the King of your heart. You've not given your life to Him. We would gladly stop and watch one be immersed in Christ and become a child of God today. If there's a need you have, please come while we stand and sing.
I serve the risen Savior who came to the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Salvation to